You're listening to the Embrace Running Podcast. I'm Mark.
I'm Elena, and this is episode number 125 for June 10th, 2014.
Welcome to the podcast where we talk running every single week. We come to you from Northern California. I'm trying to throw that in once a month at least, that we know.
I think we take it for granted, you know, that like we don't say that we're from Northern California.
Yeah. So in case you're new,
good to throw in there.
Tuning in, what's going on? I had a bad week. I'll lead with that. But what are we talking about today? We're going to be talking about...
I had a good and a bad week.
We're going to be talking a little bit about Disney Reg, because Disney Reg for a specific race opened up this morning. We'll tell you how that went. And then we're going to kind of finish it with a race report from the race that you did this past weekend, which is a trail race, Ragnar. That gives you a clue. Colorado. Basically just said the name
of it.
So we'll get into that. And then I think maybe one or two real quick stories, but that's going to kind of be it for this week. I think next week, no race report. We'll actually have a break.
I know.
You're racing a lot.
Yeah.
Seems like lately.
Right.
So that's why we're doing lots of race reports and recaps. So
I think I'm just running in an organized fashion.
With official timing.
There you go.
And you get a medal and a t-shirt
right.
most of the time.
Yeah, exactly.
Or every single time. Yes.
Right. Yeah.
It's kind of interesting. I'm just going off random here. Most of the races we do, we always seem to get a medal, right? Because we don't do that many 5Ks or 10Ks. And a lot of the ones that we have are... the local company here, Brazen Racing, which gives you a medal for all distances, or if you're doing a Disney event, you actually get a medal for all distances.
That's true.
So we're kind of really heavy on medals.
Yeah. So
just random thought. Yeah, there
random
was no
thought.
Point to that.
Okay.
All right, let's jump into get back to our weekend training. I'm actually gonna step in here and go first.
Well, fine then.
Because
no,
mine's pretty easy. So now I'm done.
Oh, okay.
I did
awesome.
Zero running this past week. But I had, I guess, good reason. I've actually been sick for the past week, so I might actually sound a little bit congested still. Maybe not. I think I'm just getting back to 100%.
I think you're past the sounds congested phase.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, good.
That's good.
This morning, I still a little bit. But yeah, so huge bummer. I was just sick and kind of surprising because it's not cold or flu season. You know, you think of June, but I happened to get sick. I actually missed work for a couple days and spent basically just a lot of time on the couch or in bed watching TV.
Mm-hmm.
So the only thing I really accomplished this past week was catching up on TV shows. Lots of Netflix and HBO Go.
Thank goodness for those, right?
To be honest, I was just super bored. I mean, I'll admit I wasn't dying to go for a run because I just felt terrible. So I wasn't itching to go for a run. I'm very much itching to go for a run today. But I was just sick and tired and more bored than anything. I was just like, oh, I'm so bored. You know, I wasn't knocking out TV shows. I was knocking out seasons of TV shows. So,
okay. That's ridiculous. you're doing your own marathon.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I was doing marathons of shows. So, yeah, that was my entire week. So kind of a bummer just
awesome.
Because, at first, the first thing that popped in my head, I was like, oh, this is such a bad time to get sick, but it was actually a really good time because, I mean, even now I'm still only 2 weeks out of a marathon. I basically did 1 week of no running as a recovery week, and then I was sick for the second week, so it's really just 2 weeks of recovery for the marathon.
Yeah,
but I really
and you're kind of the furthest away from a race that you will be
this year. Like,
yeah,
so,
maybe.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, it's just a bummer because you know here we are 10 days into June, and I even said last week that I was looking for June to be a really good strong month and get lots of training in and no races, and I've kind of just wasted away the first 10 days. But nothing I can do about it. I haven't really been this sick since.
Since last time we were sick.
Yeah, since the last time, which was over a little bit over a year ago. So that's not bad. So that's my week. Let's get into some real running of a week.
Okay.
Over to you.
So I had a pretty good week. Overall, a little less mileage than what I guess I would normally do in a week.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, just what a week and a half out from a marathon. So still
right.
pretty good. Overall, I got 1 day of spinning. So I was on the bike for 1 day. Did do 1 day of weight training. So that's pretty good. And actually did 6 days of running for about 27 and a half miles. So overall, a pretty good week in terms of exercise and running. So that's what we talk about. And that included a couple of runs in Colorado, which we'll
race.
Talk about. Yeah. So I got some altitude training in too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For what? I don't know. But, you know.
Well, it's actually really good too.
Hopefully I built up some more red blood cells and
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
all that stuff that happens with your body. So, and then I actually did do a workout the day after the race, did a short run on the treadmill. And then that's when I hopped on the bike for a little bit of recovery. So that was my week.
That was your week, which you finished off with some traveling and the race, which we'll talk about.
Yeah.
Let's mention races from this past weekend. Ragnar Trail Snowmass. That's the one we're talking about.
Yep.
Heartbreak Hill Half Marathon. Ragnar Relay Chicago. Dipsy. You have the double Dipsy coming up. nervous about that yet?
I've been nervous since before I signed up. But yeah.
And then the Wounded Warrior Half in 10K in Texas and North Face Endurance in DC.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's start it off. We just want to mention last week was National Running Day. So hopefully everybody got a chance to get a run in.
Right.
I planned to get a run in and that's when I got sick. So that didn't work out at all for me. But yeah, just wanted to mention that. So hopefully people were able to partake in some fashion, whether that be maybe hitting up your local running group or just getting out yourself on a run, or maybe you just ran 20 miles a day before. And so there was kind of no reason to throw in another run at that point, maybe. So, but at least keep it in mind for next year.
Yep.
Look for events. I know a lot of local running clubs and running stores actually have kind of special events and stuff going on that day. So something to keep in mind if you missed this year, catch it again next year. All right, let's talk about, I guess we'll start with the Run Disney thing. So
Might as well.
Registration opened this morning at 9 a.m. Pacific time, 12 noon Eastern, for the Star Wars Half Marathon weekend at Disneyland. We talked about this before when it was announced and that it was coming. And I think we've been warning people for a very long time about Run Disney events and a lot of events in general, that if you want to make sure there's a race you really want to do and you want to make sure you do it, you got to be there the minute it goes on sale, especially with Disney. So today was definitely no exception. I think today was probably the fastest selling Disney event. And,
right.
And by event, I'm kind of categorizing everything together. So meaning the kids races, the 5K, the 10K, the half, the challenge, all of it.
All of it.
Everything was sold out within, do you know how long?
Like just over 2 hours.
2 hours.
Everything.
So I think that's the fastest. I mean, if I'm wrong, I guarantee somebody will correct me, but I think that's probably the fastest, if not, got to be super close to the fastest.
Right, where like every single...
Everything was gone. There's basically...
Distance was gone.
No options. Nope. I think the only thing left was if you wanted to sign up for the, what is it, the pasta party that they did?
Yeah, the Wookiee welcome party and the cheer squad. Those are the two that are open.
Still open right now?
Still open right now.
Okay, so if you can, I guess you could do that if you're not doing the race.
If you want to participate somehow. Yeah.
So yeah, it went sold out crazy fast. We mentioned, I think, 2 weeks ago that we were going to go ahead and attempt to register for this event. And we did attempt to register for it this morning. And we actually did get in. So we will actually be doing the race. We got lucky. I think we were both separately on computers at 9 a.m. this morning. You had no luck.
No luck at all. I couldn't get past like the first page like to load at all.
So I was actually lucky enough to not only register myself, but then immediately after I got myself in there was to go back in and get you registered, which was, it was a very stressful 15 minutes. You can imagine just, and I was actually more stressed after I got myself in trying to get you registered for the race, because I actually wasn't sure if you had registered or not.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, I think I should just go ahead and register. And
I'm so glad you did.
And I was like, oh, what if I register her and she already did, and then I'm out another $300 or whatever the cost of the race is. And but then in my head, I was like, well, I'll just call my credit card company and just cancel it or something. I was like, I'll figure something out. So I figured I had to register you, because this is one event I really just don't have any interest in going and doing by myself. I need some partner to go run it with, or at least hang out with at Disney to do it. So, yeah, I mean, my experience was I jumped on at 9 o'clock and kept hitting the refresh button right away. And I actually got through pretty quick. And the funny part was, I think you get first to a page where you have to type in your name and your birthday right at the beginning of registration. Yeah. I don't even know why.
I don't either.
Doesn't make any sense, because you're going to put all that in again.
That's the only page I saw, and I didn't get to go to any further.
Yeah, so I got to that page. I entered that, and then I moved on, and I got to the page where you kind of enter your name and address and all this stuff, and I'm kind of going, you know, I'm going super fast. I'm trying to type all this in, because when they do this type of registration system, they're not, when you begin the process, they're not holding you a spot.
Right.
Your spot isn't held until you actually register, like buy now, like click after the credit card. But yeah, I started doing all that, and then I realized I never picked a race distance, which I didn't understand. So I'm looking at the page, I'm going, wait a minute. How does it know what the heck I want to run? So I actually went back to the top of the page and it said half marathon. And I was like, what? I want to do the Rebel Challenge, because that's what we did sign up for. And then I noticed, I think somewhere it said the price. And I said, no, this is the half. So I opened a new browser tab and I went back and I started the whole thing again. And this time I actually did get to a page where you got to pick your distance.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know why the first time I went through Reg I didn't even have an option to pick a distance. I guess I just assumed I wanted to do the half. I don't think I clicked on something that was just the half.
Yeah.
Could be wrong. It was very stressful trying to get in there. But yeah, I got through that, got myself registered really without too much of a problem, and then tried to contact you. And then I just kind of went back and did the same thing for you, which was kind of, like I said, stressful trying to get all that in. And it kind of remembered my information, so I had to change it to like registering somebody else. I think in the past you've actually been able to register yourself and somebody else. It's kind of like one big transaction.
Right, but you weren't able to this time.
No, you had to go back and kind of go back to the beginning and do a separate registration in a way, which made it
a little bit more difficult.
A little bit more difficult. So, but yeah, I just went back and kind of went through the whole thing and registered, and finally we did get hold of you and we confirmed that you hadn't registered, so I was happy.
But thankfully you were able to get me in.
And got all the confirmation emails, and I think I went back to the website and checked. I think I've been back two or three times just to verify our names were in there, just to make sure nothing was screwed up. And
I did the same thing. Even after you told me, I double checked. I went back to the confirmation and made sure we were both in there.
So, I mean, despite kind of having some issues there, I mean, you obviously couldn't get through to the page at all.
No.
Mine was,
I thought we were just both just not going to be able to get in, period.
Yeah, my experience was a little bit wonky, but overall it wasn't like a disaster. As if you go back to, what was that, Chicago Marathon 2 years ago? When active.com just melted down from the weight of everybody trying to register. So it wasn't that bad. We got the registration. I actually went back at lunchtime and kind of went over to Facebook and read all the comments. I think there was 335 comments at the time about kind of Race Reg. And I guess one thing that happened during Race Reg was the 10K wasn't available. It didn't show up on the webpage at all when registration opened at 9 a.m. or noon, depending where you were at. So a lot of people, it's funny because you see the comments right after Reg opened and lots of people going, where's the 10K? Where's the 10K? Mm-hmm. How come there's no 10K? And then I guess Run Disney did post to their Twitter page that they were investigating why there was no 10K listed, because obviously it should be. And so a lot of people were frustrated with that. I know several people ended up just signing up for the 5K because there was no 10K. And then I guess they got the problem resolved. And I think after 20 minutes or so, the 10K apparently did just magically show up. And so people were rushing to get in the 10K. And they did that. So some people I know probably registered for the 5K and then did the 10K. And I think what a lot of people are going to do is just contact Active if they wanted to get out of the 5K.
And I know just wanted the 10K?
Just wanted the 10K. So
see if they can get that fixed.
And I know I saw one comment that said, you know, Active was going to make exceptions to cancel those registrations because there was the first issue with the 10K. So if you did happen to register or have some kind of issues like that, I would definitely reach out to active.com as soon as possible and see what you can do. And
yeah.
Worst case scenario, you can always go to your credit card company and
do it that way.
Yeah.
I wonder if that will open up any more spots for the 5K for people who register for the 5K but don't want to do the 5K. They really want to do the 10K
or probably not. I don't think it's going to even.
Okay.
I don't even think they're going to do that at all. So, yeah. So, I mean, I think what went first? The Rebel Challenge?
Yeah. Rebel Challenge went first.
Was the fastest, and then everything else kind of just followed suit. And I know all the kids stuff went extremely quickly. I saw a lot of comments from parents who were kind of bummed out because they were able to get themselves in a race but they weren't able to get their kids in the kids race, so eek, that's a bummer.
Yeah, but so, as far as like the adult races, the challenge was first and the 5K and the 10K and then the half was last.
Yeah, and I think that 5K 10K thing was probably
because of the
there was no 10K at the beginning of registration, so I know a lot of people just said I gotta do something, so I went with the 5K. So
that makes sense.
Like I said, not shocking. I know there was a couple comments. People said, you know, shocked it went so fast. You shouldn't be shocked. You know, maybe I think it's okay to be a little bit surprised that it went so quickly, but
I'm surprised that all of the events were
shot
gone
out so fast.
Yeah. Like there still isn't something open now, but I'm not surprised that the Rebel Challenge went that quickly.
So, I mean, I don't know what this holds for the future of Run Disney events. I've never heard any mention, rumor, comments or anything about Disney going lottery for any of their events. This went super fast, so I don't know if that's something they're going to consider in the future. I know a lot of people don't want them to go lottery. They almost don't seem interested in going lottery.
I don't think they'll change their process.
I think it's just going to be this mad dash every time to
get
into
events.
Yeah,
if you get in, you get in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're going to continue to raise the prices.
Right, and they obviously have the demand, so it's not going to be an issue. Yeah. So
I almost feel guilty registering for the event and kind of contributing to, I feel like I'm contributing to the rising cost of Disney events because, you know, as long as these things sell out in hours, you know, forget about months, you know, or days, you know, these things are selling out in hours. I feel like I'm contributing to the increasing price that they'll just kind of keep jacking it up every year. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we all have a choice whether to do it or not. So we're in, so should be fun. I'm glad I booked a hotel. 2 weeks ago, right when it was announced.
When you found out, yeah.
That's done. So actually travel, kind of everything's planned and ready to go. So it should be a fun event. We'll, of course, have the full recap. It's kind of so weird because, you know, we spent a lot of time today talking about an event that is next January, right?
Yeah.
Seems so far away.
So is that our first event that we're registered for?
Oh, for next year.
Yeah.
Yeah, good point.
Okay, so now our official race schedule has spilled over into 2015.
I didn't even think about that at all.
Yeah.
So
first race of the year.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that we're scheduled for right now. Yeah.
All right, so that's Run Disney. Just want to mention, we're not going to talk about it in any detail. There was an article on Runner's World about a half marathon that was canceled, and it's part of the, or at least the same race director ownership as the Victory She series.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess if you're going to do the series or any event related to it, just kind of a word of caution, because the article just describes race being canceled and, you know, people being promised refunds and not getting refunds, and a previous race, all the local vendors not getting paid. And like I said, it's a really long article that kind of goes into all the details, which I'm not going to go into because I feel like we've done this before with another race company.
Right.
But I'll link.
Just a cautionary, I don't know what you want to call it, but yeah.
And we kind of went over tips before about, you know, picking races and kind of knowing what you're getting into, you know, if you're not familiar with the company or the track record, or it's kind of worth checking, you know, check their Facebook page or comments, mm-hmm. or just Google them. And, you know, there's a problem. Sometimes you find out that, you know, stuff like that. So just wanted to mention that. What else? I found a cool article today, which you actually enjoyed. Also from Runner's World. Talks about distance run per game in various sports.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in the sport of running. What does that equate to in other sports? So they just kind of list off the major sports. So how much does a baseball player run during a game? How much is a football player, basketball player? So just
like during just a regular game, right?
Yeah, just during a regular game. You know, to us, basically a game is whatever race distance we're doing.
Right.
So if we're doing, you know, 5K, you know, we're doing 3. If we're doing a marathon, we're doing 26. So what does a baseball player run? 0.046.
Yeah.
Not much.
0.046.
Yeah.
Not even 0.46.
That's right. Because first base is not that far. So I don't even... I'm curious if they're counting time. If you're an outfielder, just kind of jogging to the outfield. I'm not sure if they're counting that. But,
well, you know, I'm thinking this is the average. So I'm sure outfielders, you know, are driving that average up a little bit. But then pitchers, I'm sure, are driving it
down.
And
if you're a pitcher in the American League, you just never run at all. So
there you go.
Football players, for wide receivers and cornerbacks, 1.25 miles per game. So a little bit more distance.
Okay.
Obviously, that's a...
It's not that a big amount, but...
Short interval, high intensity sport. I think, what do they say? The game actually only includes, what, 11 minutes of actual playing time. Basketball, my old sport, 2.9 miles. So basically a 5K. Kind of getting up there. That's not bad. Quite a bit of distance. Tennis, which I don't know, like first when you think of tennis, would you think that's a lot of distance covered or not? It's a lot of running, but it's not very far.
Yeah, it's a lot of like short spurts, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't thought about that. I would have thought a lot until you did point out the fact that you're not running very far.
Yeah. So tennis, they total at 3 miles. So just a little bit more than basketball players. But
okay.
I think the big issue with tennis is there's a big difference between men and women because men's games are longer, theoretically. And, you know, whether it's a 3-set match or 5-set match, mm-hmm. is going to be a massive difference. So, but I guess that's just kind of a mid-range average that they're taking. Field hockey, 5.6 miles as we kind of move up the ladder.
Okay.
Definitely more running there. Basically, pretty much 10K. And soccer, which is the most distance that they have listed on this, 7 miles. So obviously there's no substitutions. You're out there running a lot. So definitely a lot more. 90 minutes, it's a long time to play. So 7 miles, I always stick up for soccer. I'm a big soccer fan. It's going to get kind of hectic over the next couple weeks because we are at the time for the World Cup. So I'm super excited for that. And actually, now that I think about it, June's a really bad time to kind of try to kick my training in gear because
the World Cup?
World Cup's going to take up a little bit of time. So unless I figure out a way to run with a TV or maybe my iPad with a game on, that's going to be a little difficult. Actually, it might be a really good time for
you can bike.
I was just, well, that's true. But it would actually, I never run on the treadmill, but it would actually be a really great time to run on treadmills because I could just kind of hop on a treadmill and
watch the game
for 2 hours and just watch a game. So that would be pretty cool. So
yeah,
just wanted to mention that. All right, let's jumping straight into the race report, right?
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about Ragnar Trail Snowmass.
Okay.
Which you did this past weekend.
I did.
I was not there. I'm very jealous after seeing the pictures. we will put up a photo album sometime this week. So
yeah,
in
the next few days. Some great pictures.
We'll put an album up on Google Plus and Facebook so you can kind of get an idea of what we're talking about. I was definitely jealous after seeing the pictures because it definitely seemed like a beautiful place to run.
Mm-hmm.
So
it was a beautiful place just to be, true. Even if you weren't running, just to stand there and look around.
So I guess we should start by saying a little bit about what Ragnar Trail is all about, because it's not an individual event. It's not mm-hmm. a typical half marathon or marathon. We've actually talked about one Ragnar Trail in the past, which was Tahoe, which we did last year.
Right.
Ragnar Trail is a relay, typically 8 people to a mm-hmm. team. You can do it as an ultra team, which would be 4 people.
Yeah.
But it's 8 people in total. Each person's going to run 3 legs because mm-hmm. they have a green loop, which is supposed to be the easiest, the yellow loop, the intermediate, and the red loop. Every runner in your team is going to run
every single loop.
Every single loop.
Yep.
And the entire race takes about 30 hours. It's a little bit faster for Ragnar Trail.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's faster for Ragnar Trail. I think we took about 24.
Oh, for your team? You had a pretty quick team.
Yeah.
And you usually start on Friday morning and you mm-hmm. go until Saturday. You know, teams start finishing in the early morning and then all the way until the late afternoon teams right. finish up depending on what your start time was and how fast of a team you are.
So. And the really, really fast teams actually start late afternoon on Friday.
Right.
Yeah. And those are usually the ones that are done before everybody else, too.
So, and obviously it's a trail race.
Yeah.
It's in the title.
There you go.
So it's very similar to a regular road Ragnar, which we've definitely talked about that several times, but different in that for this one, you're actually, there goes my voice.
You okay?
Yeah. you're camping out in one spot, so mm-hmm. you're not, you don't need a van. You're just right. hanging out in one area.
And, I mean, I guess you could go like hop in a van and drive around and then come right back, you know, and have your next person go, but no, you don't.
But there would absolutely be no point.
Right, yeah, so, there's no point.
So instead of a van, you basically just bring a tent and you kind of hang out, and it's kind of cool because you actually get a good chance to kind of rest up and hang out. You don't have the hectic
like,
scene.
Get back in the van, yeah, go to the next place,
although I actually really do like that part of it too, but on the road. So I think that's the general summary of what a Ragnar Trail is. So I'll let you kind of tell us about the race.
All right. So I obviously had to travel for this one, you know, out in Colorado. Hadn't been to Colorado at all before. So yeah,
first time.
Yeah, first time. So see, that's one of the nice things that we've talked about before. Like, why do people run? It's like, I get mm-hmm. to see places that I never would have maybe seen otherwise.
I tell that one to people all the time. That,
yeah. Like, you know, when would I have gone to Snowmass, Colorado if it wasn't for this?
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure I would have gone to Colorado at some point, but not there. So so I traveled out the day before, actually. So I traveled out there on Thursday. And then, you know, no problem heading out there. And just, you know, I stayed at a hotel the night before. And just getting out to the hotel, it was just like, just amazing views. Just driving to the hotel, I'm like, oh my gosh, this place is awesome. And so my plan was to, you know, just kind of hang out, get stuff ready for the next day. But everything was like so beautiful that I was just like, I need to go get a run in, like somewhere. I don't care where. Like, I just need to go run in this, you know? So luckily I talked to a couple of the hotel staff and they were able to point me to some nearby trails, you know, that weren't too long, just to kind of, you know, shake my legs out a little bit and see all the scenery. So went out there and it was amazing. It was beautiful. Stopped to take tons of pictures and it was hard to breathe.
The elevation. Do you remember what the elevation was?
I think where I was staying initially, it was like 8,000 or 8,300, something like that. So yeah, I mean, definitely felt it. And I, you know, slowed down and I was like, okay, well, I'm not, you know, racing here. I'm just out on a nice little you know, trail. So, but yeah, it was super nice. That night for people who, and this is something that they don't necessarily do for all the different events, you know, every event is a little bit different. Mm-hmm. So, they actually offered, a dinner, you know, a sponsored dinner for people that were staying at certain hotels and locations and things. You kind of did it as a package essentially, when you booked the hotel. And so you got shuttled to just a nearby area where they had a great dinner. Quite a few people were there, you know, just the amount of participants. Then they had a guest speaker who is, you know, he's a brand ambassador for Salomon, who is the title sponsor for Ragnar Trail. And he also is an editor for a trail magazine. And so he's pretty, you know, pretty well-known guy. So it's kind of nice just to, and he's a good speaker. So he's pretty good to hear him talk. And then, you know, shuttle back to your hotel. So it's kind of nice to have that as like kind of get your festivities started, mm-hmm. you know, and get kind of pumped up versus waiting until the next day. So, you know, got back, try to get all my stuff ready. You know, so traveling for this is a little bit different than traveling for like a road right now because you do need a tent.
Or
you know,
a road
you
need, race in general.
Right. That's a good point. Yeah. Yeah. You don't generally take your tent, right?
You don't take a tent on your marathons in case you need
all the time.
Take a little break.
Yeah. And I just check it in my gear tech bag.
That would be funny.
Yeah. So, you know, bringing all that stuff. But so day of, you know, so that'd be a Friday morning. Headed over to the main event area. So Snowmass Village, essentially, which is not that far from Aspen, mm-hmm. if people are familiar.
Give
so
an idea.
Yeah. And maybe about 4 hours from Denver, if you're driving. So mm-hmm. just to kind of give a general idea of, so, you know, big ski area. So, you know, snow-capped mountains, but definitely not snow where we're running. So,
right. But you could see snow-capped mountains in the distance, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I got there, my team start time was 11 a.m., which was the earliest start time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They sound surprised.
I don't know why I thought it was earlier. I think I had Road Ragnar in my head.
You're thinking like 7 a.m.? Or maybe not that early. But
not that early, but I was thinking 8 a.m. I thought when we did Tahoe, they started at 10 a.m. So
I think they might have, but I think that was just an anticipation of how long it was going to take to cover the course. Yeah. So 11 a.m. start time, got there. Some of my teammates were already had a place kind of staked out, you know, because you get there and you have to pick a campsite, essentially. I mean, it's not a developed campsite. You know, you have to just essentially pick an area that your tents are going to go and whatever else you bring.
You claim your spot.
Pretty much,
And they do ask you to, there's some measurement.
On 17 by 17.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
So professional there. She knows all the information.
There you go, yeah.
Or, you know, they ask you to, you know, it's not some hard and fast rule or marked lines or fences or anything. Just kind of, you know, stick to that amount of space or as close to that as possible.
Right.
Although you are welcome to bring technically friends and family with
Absolutely.
You. So,
yeah.
You know, kids, whatever.
Yeah.
So.
Which we did see, you know, kids and like what you would think are, you know, parents and grandparents and that sort of thing. So, yeah. So, got there, you know, set up my stuff, you know, talked to other teammates who the majority of my team was actually made up of, fellow Ragnar Trail warriors, which essentially, you know, the ambassadors. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty cool too. You know, I've really just met these people once before. But it didn't feel awkward in any way, you know, just like we're all there with the same goal. We're all very similar. You know, we all love running. We all love the trails. So it just kind of came together really, really smoothly, if that makes sense. So yeah, set up all our stuff. Our team captain went over and checked in for us. So pick up the one bib that we're all going to have, you know, so a little bit different from Road Ragnar, where we each individually get a bib. Trail, you basically have a bib on a, what do you call it? Where you put the bib on?
It's like a belt.
Yeah. That you just pass on each time. So pick that up and our shirts. And then we were just basically, you know, wait until it's start time. So I was runner two. Happy to be runner two because I would rather be done sooner. You know, because I get kind of antsy.
Right.
You know, like if you're waiting around, even like with just Road Ragnar too, you just get antsy if you're one of the later runners because you feel like this event's been going on for like hours and you still haven't like started, you know. So I was happy being two.
It is very weird. I think if you're runner number 8 on the trails or 12 on the road, it is a very long time to kind of wait until you get your run in. So,
right.
Yeah.
Although then that gives you time, I guess, to just, maybe not for Road Ragnar, but for trail, you can kind of just hang out and relax. And the
flip side to that is come the end of the race, you're one of the last, you're basically the last person to go. So it's kind of cool that you get to run to the finish line at the end.
Right.
And basically you run
your leg.
And you're done. You get to go home.
Yeah,
so,
like that's it. You don't have to wait for other people to finish.
Versus if you're one, you're under one, you finish the race, yet you're still going to be there for another 5 hours, 6 hours, whatever it is, depending on, you know, how fast your people are. And so, think about that if you're trying to pick which runner to be if you're doing one of these events.
Yeah. And I think it just depends on the person. Some people would probably rather be one or two. Some people would probably be 7 or 8. And probably a lot of people don't really care. Yeah. Or another thing to look at, too, when you're doing Ragnar Trail is what order you're going to be doing the different loops. Mm-hmm. You know, because not everybody runs them in the same order. So, yeah. Okay. So, I was runner two. So, we started at 11 a.m. And I started, I don't know, maybe like 11:45-ish. I don't know, something like that. So my first loop was the yellow loop. Since I was runner two, runner one was doing green loop. You know, runner three would do red loop. So you just kind of keep cycling like that until you cover them all. So I actually decided to demo a pair of Salomon shoes since they do have that at every single Ragnar Trail event, which is pretty cool. And they usually have more than one shoe there.
And I think we've said in the past, a really good opportunity to try Salomon shoes.
For sure.
Because you actually get to take it out on a real run, not just, you know, out in the parking lot of your store or on a treadmill. You actually, for this one, you get to go take it for your 6-miler or whatever it is.
Exactly. Yeah. They also had a Suunto watches that you could demo.
Oh, you could try those out. Yep. That's cool, too.
Yeah. So, and they also had like Salomon hydration packs and vests that you can try out too if you want to do that. So they had a couple of different things that you can demo.
Actually, if I was there, I would have loved to try the Salomon hydration pack. That would have been a cool opportunity.
Yeah.
Because they are a little bit on the expensive side. Mm-hmm. So it would have been good to kind of get that chance to try it out before you
commit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then they were really good. They had, you know, plenty of staff there helping us out. And so I decided to try a pair of Fell razors for the first one. So it definitely has more like tread on the bottom. Mm-hmm. It's meant more for Fell racing, you know, and Fell running, which we don't really have here in the U.S. You know, we have that a lot more. They have it a lot more like in Europe and stuff. Right. So it ended up being a little bit more tread than I needed for the trail, but it was still nice to give them a try. So anyway, so I had those shoes on for my Yellow Loop, which was a 4.1 mile or so, you know, give or take, depending. So, you know, you start basically where everybody starts with the Yellow Loop. You actually kind of double back towards the start area. I mean, not exactly on that same course, but just kind of double back. You're on the road for a little while, going through some like residential area, I guess you would call it, mm-hmm. for about half a mile. And then you go right onto the trail. And there was a tiny, tiny little like stream or puddle there, you know, with like rocks to cross. And I was like, oh, okay, this is so little. You know, I'm kind of hot. I'll just like run through it. So I put... So I put my right foot through it, and I'm like, oh, that was a bit deeper than I thought it was. So I got mud all on my right leg, but felt a little bad that I got the Salomon shoes dirty, but I think they're kind of used to that, you know, with people demoing them out on the trail. But I was like, okay. So, and that was really the only water crossing, if you can call it that, you know, on the trail. So pretty much start climbing all three loops. If you look at the elevation profile, they're basically like an inverted V, I guess mm-hmm. you would call it. So I had to figure out what a V looked like. So it looked like an inverted V. So you're basically climbing for the most part for like the first half and then descending for the second half in general. I mean, there's a couple of rollers here and there, but that's pretty much what it was. So with the Yellow Loop, you know, as soon as you're on the trail, you're pretty much on single track, which is nice, mm-hmm. you know, and you're climbing. And so there's some rolling hills. So you can, you know, for me, you know, power hike and then run a little bit, you know, power hike, run a little bit. So it wasn't like just a real steep, you know, grade climbing up to the top. And you know, before you know it, you don't even have to be that far to get into some great amazing views. Mm-hmm. You can look back to, you know, Ragnar Village, that's where we call it, you know, where everything's happening. And it looks so small, you know, when you're like climbing up, you're like, oh my gosh, like that area is like we're tiny. And you can see all the mountains behind it. I mean, I don't know how many times I stopped on that loop to take pictures, but it was so beautiful. I mean, I can't even like explain like how awesome it looked. So that was pretty cool. There was lots of wildflowers, you know, a lot of purple. I don't really know what wildflowers are. You know, like I can't tell you the names of them, but they were purple. So really nice. Got scratched up a little bit, you know, on a little bit of overgrowth, but nothing major, you know, on my legs. And then once you get to the top, you know, kind of rolling downhill a little bit, you know, not super steep, maybe about around... When you have a little under 2 miles left of that trail, you actually combine with the Red Loop. Mm-hmm. So I actually made a mental note when I was running the Yellow Loop. I'm like, okay, this is where Red Loop kind of joins us. I'll be running Red Loop at night. So now I'll know what this portion of the trail is going to look like for Red Loop.
Right.
So I felt a little bit more comfortable knowing that I was running that during the day first. So you descend, and that's like really fun. I just let loose and started running because now it's a lot easier to breathe, right? Because you're going downhill. You know, going uphill or even just, you know, flat is tough because I obviously come from sea level, mm-hmm. you know, so going up to there, probably 7,000, 7,500 feet and running. My lungs were screaming, you know, but, just downhill the last, I don't know, maybe half a mile or three quarters of a mile, you're back on kind of a wider, dirt path and then just slight little section of like sidewalk road as you get real close to the village and the finish area. So did my Yellow Loop and came through and handed off to my next person. So one thing I do want to mention about Yellow Loop, just because in case people were following, you know, on Instagram or any social media, there was this infamous grouse mm-hmm. on Yellow Loop, which thankfully I did not see when I was there and completely left me alone. So grouse is a bird for people who don't know, because I did not know. And I had to Google it.
I had no idea either.
Yeah.
And I had heard from you that there was a grouse going after people on the trail. And in my head, I'm just thinking, okay, I know it's a bird. So it's funny because in my head, I had imagined, you know, this bird flying in and kind of pecking at people and then flying
away. Oh, interesting, because I didn't tell you that it was a non-flying bird.
No, at the time. So, you know, silly us. We don't know what the heck grouse is, but yeah.
We don't have those around here.
We don't have those. Yeah. Which they're basically just a glorified chicken is kind of the best way to kind of describe it. So it wasn't flying. It was kind of chasing people on the ground.
Yeah. And it was like pecking at them. Yeah. And yeah, you know, got a few people. So, I mean, nobody was seriously injured or anything. But, you know, the big thing was, you know, like getting chased by the grouse and, you know, going off trail because of the grouse and trying to avoid it. And so, you know, don't kick the grouse, you know, like leave it alone. So we're thinking it probably had it was protecting probably a nest that was somewhat nearby. So, but I didn't see it at all. I saw it in pictures, mm-hmm. but that was it. So, but I did want to mention that because that was like the big thing on Yellow Loop. So, yeah, so that was Yellow Loop. So now I have some time, you know, to kill before I go again. Mm-hmm. So my next one's going to be Green Loop, and it was going to be late evening.
Okay.
Almost nighttime, but just before it got dark. So it's kind of nice once you're done, you know, you're like, okay, you know, I have a while before it's my turn again. But then before you know it, it's like, okay, I better start getting ready, you know, before my turn. Because you don't know exactly when people are going to finish. Right. You have a general idea, but you also don't want to be late, you know, to when people come through. And you also have to time, for me at least, like the eating. Right. You know, I want to eat early enough where it's not a problem, but not too early where then I don't have enough gas in the tank. And, you know, none of these loops were that long in terms of mileage, but still, you know, like you don't know how long you're going to be out there. You know, I'm dealing with altitude that I'm not used to. I'm going to be slower. Hopefully I don't get lost. But if I do, you know, I have to plan for that too. So I actually ate right away as soon as I was done with Yellow Loop. Got something in my stomach.
Did you eat at the buffet?
No, that was later.
Okay.
Yeah. So I ate and then I had a peanut butter and jelly. I mean, peanut butter sandwich. Okay. That's what I had. So if you want specifics and some grapes. So yeah, then for food. I should probably just mention food in general. They did have lunch available for sale on mm-hmm. that day and then breakfast the next day. But they do, with your race registration, essentially, or your race entry fee, they do provide a dinner, essentially a pasta dinner that Friday night. So I
said buffet. It's not buffet. It's just a pasta dinner, right?
Right.
It's not a buffet.
Yeah, it's not a buffet, but I mean, I guess you could really pile it on your plate, but yeah, you don't get to go back.
Fill your plate, so.
Yeah. And so I did eat that. I made sure I ate. I think it was about like 2 or 3 hours before I thought I was going to run again. Mm-hmm. So I had enough time to digest, and you know, if I was going to have any problems, I didn't have problems. So they actually had a pretty good spread, you know, pastas, rolls, potatoes, salads. You know, they had some gluten-free options too for people, lemonade, iced tea, and then of course beer for sale if you want that. So,
and that applies to all the different Ragnar Trail events.
Right.
Dinner is always that Friday night dinner is always included, and they always have it going for a bunch of hours. I'm not even sure.
I think it was like 5 to 10 or something.
Yeah, so it kind of covers you with, or, you know, you might be out running at 5, so you can eat later. If you're, you know, you figure out if you might be running around 9 or 10, you can eat earlier. So you got that big chunk of time. So
like for me, you know, I ate at like 5 or 5:15 or something because I was going to be running at 8 something. So I want to make sure I gave myself enough time. So ended up eating by myself because, you know, everybody's kind of eating at different times on your team, you know, and the next person running isn't going to want to eat right then. Mm-hmm. So you just kind of do your own thing. So yeah, I had a meal and then, you know, waiting for my next turn. So, and all, you know, this whole time they have other activities going on. They have a live band for a while. They have yoga, you know, which is like, it had like the nicest backdrop ever that I've seen, you know, for yoga. And they had that at several different times. Like I mentioned, you know, you can demo things. They also have other sponsors, you know, you can try like the noon hydration, some monster drinks. They have like local running companies there, you know, selling things. And of course the Ragnar merchandise tent where you could buy, you know, their logoed items. Yeah. Okay, so my time came back up at 8 something. I don't remember exactly the time now, but 8 something. So next one was Green Loop, which was a 3.3 miler.
Oh, it's so, not that much mileage to it at all.
No, so decided to switch out my shoes and try a different pair of Salomon shoes. So this time I tried the Sense Pro. So I was just really excited that they actually had my size, you know, because it's a pretty popular size for women. So I was just excited that I was able to try out the two different pairs. So headed out onto the Green Loop. First little section is, you know, paved road, and then you head onto single track again. So, you know, pretty nice that you head into single track. Some climbing again, like I mentioned before, you know, you basically climb for like about half of that, and then you start descending again. I actually found the Green Loop to probably be the most technically difficult, mm-hmm. which is interesting because it's the shortest loop. It's kind of, I don't want to say the easy loop, but the easiest of the three. I guess it's considered that. Mm-hmm. It definitely has the least amount of elevation gain and loss, but it just felt more technical and I had a tougher time with it. I started feeling, you know, like some tightness and soreness, like in my Achilles and my calves. And I thought, oh man, I'm doing like the longest one next. So I'm really going to be be hurting. But I think part of that was just, you know, like the terrain is just different, you know, than what you're used to running in. You know, I've never run on those trails before and I had different shoes, you know, so I think it was just my legs and my feet and my body trying to adjust to wearing different shoes that I'd never worn before. Mm-hmm. So, and then you start, you know, you climb up a bit, you can see like a golf course, you still can see the great mountains in the background. So of course I take another picture of that, you know, power hiked when I could, you know, when I had to, and, you know, ran when I could, and then, you know, descended again, crossed, like the main road there, which they, you know, the road wasn't closed, of course, cause people have to come in and out of that area, but they did have volunteers absolutely where they needed to have them so that they could help you cross over. And they've done that before too, like at Road Ragnar's, were like big major intersections, they'll have like somebody cross you over.
Right,
so,
right.
So they had that crossed over and, you know, pretty close to back to like the finish / start area, I guess the exchange area is the best way to call it. So getting close to there, and for whatever reason, I just kind of zoned out for a split second. You know, I crossed the road and I was back onto like a paved bike path. Right. And so if I had gone right, I would be on that paved bike path and onto a bridge and then back onto the bike path. And so that just seemed like the natural way for me to go. I didn't even like consciously think about it. If I had gone left, it would have been paved for just a little bit and then would have been like kind of skirting around a parking lot between some tennis courts and then back to the start area, which now looking back at it, duh. I mean, I only had like a quarter of a mile left, right? So, but for whatever reason, I didn't really think about it. So I went the wrong way, right? Mm-hmm. I turned right and I'm like, ooh, pretty bridge. You know, let me run across the bridge. And went onto the paved bike path. I'm like, oh, this is so pretty. And then I was like, huh, I don't see anybody in front of me. Not that you see a lot of people out there,
right.
But you usually see somebody. You know, like I had seen some people in front of me up until that point. And I'm like, huh, I don't see anybody over here. And I, you know, I just kind of like, maybe I went the wrong way. I'm like, no. I'm like, they always tell you, you know, like keep going straight if you don't see a sign. I'm like, wait, but that's Road Ragnar. That's different than trail, you know? And I'm like, huh, I'm like, I'm actually running further away from where I'm supposed to be going. I'm like, I'm pretty sure I'm going the wrong way. I'm like, well, let me just go a little bit further and then I'll check. And yeah, sure enough, I went a little bit further and then I could see that trail actually dead ends. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, all right, obviously not that way. Right. So doubled back. I'm like, well, where did I go wrong? You know, cause I wasn't sure. I'm like, I know it's after I crossed because they had a volunteer crossing me. So clearly that was the right way to go. I'm like, so it's somewhere there. And of course, when I came back and crossed the bridge again, there were the trail signs very clearly marked. So they do have tons of trail signs that correspond to the loop that you're on. So the little green, you know, trail signs that tell you to go that way with the arrow pointing left. And then of course they have the signs that have a big X on them, you know, like black signs with X, basically don't go that way, that were on the bridge that I apparently just ran by and went on the bridge.
And when you didn't see a sign for a while, that was a pretty big indicator.
Right. Because they do have them pretty frequently.
Yeah. I mean, they do a really good job marking.
Especially for trail.
The trails. It's a small, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm kind of going back to last year, but kind of a small 4-inch, 5-inch little sign that's on the ground that has an arrow with the direction you're going and the color trail
of the loop that you're
on.
Yeah.
And you see those on a regular basis. So
they
tell you if you don't
very
see one
clearly
for,
marked.
I don't know what the distance
however many
is.
Steps,
you don't see one for, you know, 100 feet, 300 feet. I don't know what the distance is. You've basically gone wrong somewhere.
But, right.
So as long as you keep seeing signs, you always know that you're going the right direction.
Yeah.
And those actually are reflective at night.
Right.
And
so
they actually
definitely
do have little red lights at night too that they turn on. So really, you're bad.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It was clearly marked because I know when I was going the wrong way and I'm like, I think I'm going the wrong way. And I'm like, well, how did I miss those? I'm like, they must not have been there, you know, like in my head. And then you come back and I'm like, oh yeah, there. And I turn around, I'm like, oh, yep, there they were. My bad. I just, for whatever reason, wanted to run across the bridge. So
the problem is you were probably just too much in your own head, just kind of enjoying the run and the trails and, you know,
exactly
distracted yourself.
Right. I mean, I wasn't worried that I was that lost because I could see like Ragnar Village, you know, like it wasn't like that far away where I was like miles and miles. So I ended up adding like 3/4 of a mile to my run. So it ended up being like a 4-mile run, but that's okay. Mm-hmm. So came through, finished Green Loop, and actually decided to go ahead and trade in my shoes for the demo shoes for my own shoes. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, I'm going to be doing, you know, the longest loop next. So I'll just get my own shoes, especially since I was feeling a little bit of tightness, like with my Achilles and calves. So decided to train them back in. So at this point I finished just before it starts getting dark. So it was nice that I didn't need flashlight or headlamp, although I did take headlamp with me just in case. I mean, if I had really gotten lost, I definitely would have needed it. So I didn't want to risk, you know, getting caught out there. And they were recommending for people to start taking it already just because you're not sure how long you'll be out there. So it came through and then it was kind of an odd time. Like, do I try to sleep before the next one? probably, you know, but I'm not that sleepy yet. So my next run or loop wasn't supposed to be until about 3:30 in the morning or so. So I figured, okay, well, it's kind of now or never. So I think I, you know, drink some more fluids or something, and then got some hot chocolate because it was starting to get cold. Mm-hmm. Weather-wise, it had been like a really nice day, a little warm, but nothing bad. Did have some lightning in the area, so they did hold off on starting people for about half an hour just to make sure that didn't get close or anything, which it never did. So that was good. So yeah, tried to sleep, which I slept maybe like 2 hours before my next run. It's always tough to sleep, you know, with these sort of races, I think, just because you're like excited and you're going to go next, but you don't have a huge amount of time, you know, block of time to sleep, like your regular 8 hours or whatever you normally do.
I mean, you want to talk to other people and see other people come in. So you kind of feel like if you're going to sleep, you're kind of missing out on something.
Exactly.
But
you need sleep.
But your sleeping bag's right there. So, you really should get a couple of hours at some point in time.
So yeah, got like 2 hours in or 2 hours of sleep. And then, you know, kept waking up like, okay, I'm not going to be able to sleep anymore. So got up and, you know, saw people come through the finish line, and it was pretty cold at this point, so everybody's kind of struggling to stay warm. And then, you know, trying to do my best to figure out when I would probably start running again, because during the day, it's pretty easy for you to keep track of when people are coming and going. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I had gone to sleep for 2 hours, so I don't know exactly when the last two people went out, and I'm trying to figure that out. And, you know, you try to talk to some of your teammates, but some of them are sleeping, you know, so it's,
you go around the sleeping bags and check who's here, who's not here. Oh, they're not here. Maybe they're running.
Yeah. One funny thing. One of my teammates came back like middle of the night. She had finished her run. Right. So her plan was to wake up, not the next person, cause obviously they're out running, but the one after that, and say, hey, I just came back. You know, so-and-so just went out, so you're next, right? And which is like a perfect thing to do. It's perfect if you're able to do that. To do that. So, you know, you don't wake up the next person, you would do the one after. So she comes back and I heard her, you know, yelling the name of the team, like, hey, hey, hey. And she's like, yeah, I'm here, I'm awake. And she's like, okay, well, so-and-so just went out. So, you know, you got to get ready. And she's like, what? You know, what are you talking about? And she's like, no, so-and-so just went out. And she's like, wait, aren't you next? She's like, no.
So why did,
like,
you wake me up?
So-and-so's next. I'm the one after that. She's like, oh, crap.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. She's like, sorry. I was trying to do my job. Okay, I'll wake up so-and-so. So it was just pretty fun. I was just cracking up in my tent because I just thought it was funny. You know, like you try to do, you know, you're trying to do your due diligence here, but, you know, you just lose track. So anyways, back to, what, 2 a.m., 3 a.m., you know, I got ready. It was pretty cold, so, you know, I had long sleeve on and capris, which, you know, normally just run like in shorts and a t-shirt and stuff. I actually ran with compression sleeves, more because I was cold than anything else, and because I had slept with them, because I figured it'll help with recovery since I was already feeling a little tight. So
I'm actually gonna backtrack real quick, because I mean, one good suggestion for people if you're gonna do a Ragnar Trail and you're, you know, at night, is, I know when we were in Tahoe, we kind of had a clipboard out on our table that was kind of in the middle of our tents, and we were kind of keeping track of times. That's how we were kind of predicting what time people went out.
Right.
So at night, people would write down the times
that they
the new person went out. So you could actually wake up in the middle of the night, and even if people are in their sleeping bags or there's nobody around, you can kind of go look at the little paper
and see,
oh, you know, Bob went out at 2:30 a.m. So
right. We're like about a half hour behind or an hour ahead. I don't know, whatever it would be.
Or at least
you
kind of get some idea. So that's one suggestion on how to deal with at nighttime, you know, figuring out who's where and what's going on without having to literally go shake tents and sleeping bags. So
right.
Sorry, just wanted to throw that in for people.
And actually, since we're talking about that, you know, with the bib that we all pass on, there is a, you know, timing chip on there. Mm-hmm. So because you do get tracked for, you know, your overall time and time for various loops and all of that. And there actually is a mat that you cross. I don't know exactly where it is, but maybe for anywhere from like a quarter of a mile to half a mile before you get to the exchange area. And so when the system is actually working, you will actually get an update on the screen that your team member, it'll have the bib number and the team name that they've crossed that timing mat. That way, like, if I'm the next one to go, then I know, oh, she's going to be here in a couple of minutes. Let me get ready at exchange area. On Friday, it worked on and off. And then when I was waiting at night, like at 2 or 3 a.m., I guess like 3 a.m. for my last loop, and I was waiting for my runner to come through, it actually just stopped.
Stopped ticking off,
and then we're like, oh, okay, it's not working, so we just got to try to figure out, you know, when she's going to come through so that I could be there. So it made it a little bit more difficult. It is definitely nice when that timing system is working, but I mean, I know technology, you gotta work out the kinks. And yeah, and I know they've had it work before without a problem. I know we had a little bit of trouble with it in Tahoe. So hopefully just once they get that worked out, it's a really useful tool, because then it gives you at least a couple of minutes, like, okay, they're here, like,
but that's still down by the exchange, so it's not like you can be at your tent and see
no, it's right by the exchange.
So it really just saves you the trouble of kind of having to look constantly down the trail at who's coming.
And one thing that runners would do that I noticed at nighttime when they were coming through, because you can't really tell who's coming through. Like, you just see like a runner with a headlamp or a flashlight. Everybody looks the same, right? So, I mean, unless somebody has a really specific costume on, which we'll talk about in a little bit, it's really hard to figure out who they were. So, what I saw some people doing is actually as they were coming through, they would either yell out the specific name of the next person, like Mark, you know, something like that, or they'd say their team name, you know, and so then, and they'd keep saying it so that they knew, like, okay, you know, he or she's here, let me run into the exchange thing and be ready. So, I think that was pretty helpful for people. So, yeah.
Or you can yell team numbers too. That's actually a good way to do it.
Yeah.
I don't know if people did that, but that's another easier suggestion, maybe.
Right. I think more people knew their team names and their team numbers. So,
okay.
Yeah, I don't know. It just seemed that way. So yeah. So, anyways, you know, runner number one, who was right before me, came through at, I don't know, I remember the exact time. I don't know, like 3 something in the morning. Yeah, probably like, or maybe 4, something like that. And so I took off on my Red Loop, which was basically a 10K, a 6.2 miler. Mm-hmm. So, I had been told, and the nice thing is, you know, you have all your different runners do different loops, so they can kind of give you feedback on like, oh, this, you know, red loop's like this or green loop's like this. Or I was able to tell people like, yellow loop is this, you know, there's a tiny little puddle, just use the rocks, don't, you know, that sort of thing. So, you know, kind of knew what to expect, although, of course, it's nighttime and it's going to be a totally different experience than somebody who's running in the middle of the day. But the first about 2 miles or even a little bit more than that was road, and it was just a slight incline. So I was so happy that it was actually nighttime, because I couldn't see it like continue on, even though I knew in my head that it continued on. I was able to run the whole part. I mean, slowly, but I was able to run it all. And I think mentally, if I would have been able to see that it kept climbing, I probably would have walked a lot more than I did.
Right.
Well, I didn't walk any of the paved part, you know, so I think it was good that I couldn't see where I was going. So, you know, I headed out with my headlamp and a flashlight. That's what I had done in Tahoe before. And I liked that combination because, you know, headlamp obviously, you know, is lighting wherever I'm facing. Flashlight I could use to light anything, you know, if I do like a blind turn or something, I don't know where that's going, or I don't know, cliff, I don't know, something, I could use my flashlight to do that. So did you have, it looked like you were going to say something.
No, I mean, I guess my one recommendation is, yeah, 2 lights is a good way to go. If you're not going to do 2 lights and you're just going to do 1 headlamp, it's a real good idea to make sure you change it out your batteries to fresh ones.
Right. Before the race. I did for both of them just in case.
That way your light doesn't die on you out there. And just make sure you actually have a really good headlamp. Because, you know, not, if you get some cheap one at, you know, I mean, Walmart sells like good ones or Kmart or something like that, but don't get some cheap one that's not many lumens, because, you know, at home when you point it at a wall, it looks like, oh, this is super bright. But when you get out in the middle of the forest, it's not as bright as you think it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So just make sure you have a good one. Borrow one if you have to from a friend. Or, you know, but
Or a fellow Ragnar person, you know, people are more than willing to.
And if something happens and your light goes out, the best thing to do is just sit and wait for the next runner to come along, because eventually there'll be another runner come along. And, just let them know, hey, my light's out, can I follow you? And usually you could just follow them the rest of the way, and that's the best way to get back if that happens. I haven't even talked to anybody that had that happen to him at Ragnar, but.
Right. Yeah, but that's good advice in case it does, versus trying to maneuver the.
Yeah, don't try to run it at night with no light. If your light goes out, just wait for the
next
person. Just
wait. There's going to be somebody that comes through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You attack the next runner. Still. No, I'm just kidding.
No. All right. So after, you know, like the 2 or so miles on the road, you know, go right onto the trail. And actually,
to kind of go back to the light thing, I'll just say that.
Fine then. Just cut me off on my red loop.
No, it's actually much easier if you are following somebody out on the trail.
Oh, it is. Yeah.
Because I remember being in Tahoe last year, and I think for a good solid mile and a half, when it was pitch blackout, I was kind of right behind a guy, and I was fast enough to pass him, even though my knee really hurt at the time. But I was kind of cool just being right behind him, because it was kind of an extra light up ahead of me, kind of, so I could actually see what was coming up. So it's always good to kind of tag along behind somebody. So
even if they're not right in front of you, if they're a little ways in front of you, it's kind of nice, because then you see where the trail is going.
Yeah,
maybe it's not a benefit of their light, but you can at least see where it's going. Like, okay, I'm going to go up there. So then after the road, go right onto the trail, single track, start climbing. So, you know, do some power hiking. And I had been warned by one of the other teammates who had done the Red Loop already that there's this little like false summit kind of, you think that you're at the top, right? And you're like, yay. And you know, you start descending, but it's like, oh no, just kidding. And you're going to climb back up. And he actually had fallen on this little downhill. I was like, okay, I'm like, mental note, don't fall. He's like, there's this rock. I just, whatever, you know, went down, had a couple of scrapes, no big deal. I'm like, okay, I'm not going to fall. I'm not going to fall. Right. Okay. Pay attention. And then, you know, so I went through that part fine. I'm like, yay, no falling, you know? And so, you know, kept climbing up because you have to climb essentially the first, you know, half, if not more of that loop. And I'm sure there was like amazing views during the day, but of course it's, you know, it's dark. It's nighttime. I mean, there's like moonlight and stuff, and it still was beautiful, but just in a totally different way. You know, you can see like lights from the village. And so that was really nice too, but I'm sure it had amazing views of the mountains again, you know, during the day. And then I had actually gotten some really good advice from him too about, you know, climbing. Like he said, you're at the top when you come across this like big motorcycle or like motocross bike. I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. Right? And
that's what I'm saying right now.
Yeah. I'm like, what? He's like, yeah. He's like, there's some guy who's just like camping like right off the trail and he has his motocross bike right there. And I'm like, oh, and I thought he was joking at first. Right. I was like, no, really? I'm like, okay. And so in my head, I'm like, well, that's a little weird, but okay, right? So climbing, you know, and like some little rollers and a little flat and climbing. And then I get to the bike and I'm like, that's what he's talking about. I'm like, yeah, and the dude's like right there, you know? So I'm like, okay. I'm like, I'm done climbing, you know? So that was pretty cool. And then you start, you know, descending. And you know, there's all this cover with all these trees. So it's kind of cool. Cause you feel like you're kind of like bushwhacking a little bit, you know, just cause I mean, it's not that narrow, but you know, it's narrower than what you're at when you're right at the top, like on the,
I think.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you're climbing on this, I think it was the Rim Trail, it seems like very open because you're like at the top, right? You're like at the summit, but then once you start descending, then you're going through like all these trees and everything. So, and then join back with Yellow Loop. Right. Cause, and I'm like, okay, well, I've been on this part before. I know it's going to look different at nighttime, but at least I know like what I'm dealing with and how steep it is. You know, I've been through here. So it was kind of nice knowing that. So descending, I could see a couple people ahead of me, which is kind of cool. Cause then I could see, you know, where the switchbacks were and everything. And I mean, of course, really use the headlamp and the flashlight for that, but still you can kind of see where you're going and how far they are from you and that sort of thing. And, you know, get off the single track onto the wider dirt trail, which is, you know, where you were on Yellow Trail, or I was on Yellow Trail earlier. I'm like, okay, I'm almost done. So there was this weird ditch there, but they have their little danger signs. Mm-hmm. You know, if there's anything weird there where it could be like a major tripping hazard or a dangerous hazard, or, you know, even like a really low lying branch that might like clip your head or something, they do have the little danger signs too ahead of time so that you know that something's coming up. So I don't know if you remember those from Tahoe. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so saw that, you know, didn't go into the tiny little ditch there or anything. And then I was just kind of cruising along, and I was feeling pretty good. You know, it was like 4:30 in the morning, 4:45 in the morning. I don't know. I'm like, I'm feeling good. Like, you know, this feels good. I'm almost done. I'm like, yes, I get to sleep after this. I'm going to crawl into my sleeping bag. It's kind of cold. You know, you just start thinking about all that. Yay. And then I'm done. And, you know, then I just get to wait for the rest of my teammates to finish. Yay. You know, it's just all excited. And before you know it, I don't know what the heck happened, but I'm like falling. Mm-hmm. And there wasn't a rock that I know of that I tripped on. There was no like branch. There was no grouse. There was no animal. I think I just tripped on my own feet. I think I just didn't pick up my foot high enough. You know, one of those weird shuffle things where you just clip the front of your foot. And it was like all, of course, in slow motion, you know, clipped my foot. And I was like, you know, in my head, I'm like, no, I'm falling, you know, that sort of thing. And I'm thinking, oh, okay, you know, it's amazing like how slow it feels at the time. Mm-hmm. Like you have all this time to process like what's going to happen, how much is it going to hurt, am I going to get scraped up, what am I going to hit, you know, like it's just all this stuff. So I managed to actually save my hands completely, which is kind of weird.
You're right.
Yeah, I have like nothing on my hands, wrists, nothing like that, but managed to actually get both of my knees. I don't know how I got both of them because I don't remember falling onto both of them. And basically, like, the whole left side of my body. So, like, my whole upper leg just has major, I call it trail rash, like road rash. Mm-hmm. Tons of bruises. My left elbow. My left shoulder, like, upper back. And I'm like, how the heck did I, like, what did I, you know, I think I just turned. And I slid quite a ways. It wasn't a steep area, but I think I was going pretty fast because it was downhill. And it was not technical. And I was just excited that I was, like, half a mile away. And I scrubbed hard. So, it hurt. you know, obviously. And then, yeah. And then you do that split thing where you're like, okay, I got to reassess. Like, is anything broken? Okay. I didn't lose consciousness. I didn't hit my head, you know, that sort of thing. But like my flashlight like landed way over there. I'm like, okay, I gotta get my flashlight. You know, I was wearing a hat cause it helps hold the headlamp in place. Mm-hmm. My hat's like flipped backwards. So I'm like, where's the headlamp? Is it still attached? You know? So at first I was just like mad, you know, like that I'm like, how did I fall like there, you know, of all places. But I think I just let down, you know, let my guard down, you know,
right.
And
it's
I was just mad.
Easy spots.
Yeah. And as I'm going down, you know, I'm like saying all these profanities, you know, cause I'm just like, I can't believe, you know, like what the F, you know, whatever. So I was just mad at myself. And then once I kind of like, okay, realized, okay, this happened, you're fine. Nothing broke. You know, you're a little hurt, but, I'm sitting there cause I'm just, I don't know, like dumbfounded. And I'm sitting, and then I realize, like, I'm sitting in the middle of the trail, and I'm like, well, this is silly. I'm just sitting right here in the middle. I'm like, but I got to, like, you know, compose myself, you know, to get back up. And I hear a runner coming, and I'm like, I really hope he sees me. Doesn't run over me. And of course he does, and he slows down and, you know, made sure I was okay. He's like, are you okay? You know, you need anything? I'm like, no, I'm good. He's like, you sure? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm like, well, that's weird. I just, like, I'm sitting in the middle of the trail. So finally got all my stuff together and, you know, got my flashlight and put my hat back on and composed myself and, I'm like, okay, here we go. Well, that sucks. I almost made it through the whole thing without falling. And that's probably the hardest fall I've had, you know, running on trail ever. So I was kind of disappointed with myself, you know, but came through the finish line and the exchange area, handed off to the next person. And even though I was really excited to be done, I was just kind of like deflated, you know, because I'm right. Like, man, like I fell, you know, I was just kind of sad. Like what happened? Like I was doing so fine. And you know, look at my pants and I have a rip on the left knee and I'm like, but I really like these pants. Like, can I still wear them? Is that, you know, you're just thinking about random stuff like that. And they had, you know, a whole medic tent there and I didn't need like medical assistance, I don't think, but I wasn't sure like how bad the damage was. So I just walked over there and said, you know, I just want to like use your light so I can kind of see, you know, cause I took a spill and you could see like my whole left side was just like filled with dirt. Like mm-hmm. My clothes, I had a long sleeve shirt, super dusty. Like my left side of my pants, same thing, everything just super dusty. So I kind of take a look at my knees. Yeah, they were scraped up pretty bad. So they offered to like clean them up. Like, yeah, that's perfect. And like, I knew my elbow was scraped up. So I had them, you know, clean that off and I'm sitting there and we're just talking. And then I feel like this pain on like my left shoulder, you know, like upper back. And I'm like, oh, like what's going on there? So I like move my shirt and I was like, oh, that's a really bad scrape. So the guy's like, oh my gosh, he's like, how'd you fall? I'm like, I don't know. So he cleaned that up and then I feel like a pain in my hip. So like, I just kind of pull my, you know, pants down a little bit on the side and look and I'm like, oh my gosh, there's more scrapes. I'm like, you have any more of that stuff? I'm going to clean this part out. He's like, what the heck? I'm like, I don't know what happened. So anyways, done with that. Got some more hot chocolate, you know, cause they have it available. Hot chocolate and coffee, mm-hmm. But I'm not a coffee drinker. So, emptied out what water and actually Tailwind that I had in my water bottle and dumped that out and filled it up with hot chocolate and did my little walk of depression back to my tent and changed and tried to go to sleep. And now at this point I couldn't sleep on my left side at all because it was painful. So I'm like, okay, well, whatever, we'll deal with it in the morning. But, able to fall asleep. I had gotten back just a little bit before the sun came out. So I was really trying to like get back into my tent, my sleeping bag before the sun came out. Cause I'd have a better chance of falling asleep. So I think I made it just in time, fell asleep, got maybe about another 2 hours of sleep. Woke back up and reassessed the damage, still hurting, but hey, what can you do at that point? Mm-hmm. Right. So, you know, kind of freshened up and changed into some clean clothes, some dry clothes and, you know, just kind of hung out with the rest of the team until, you know, all of our runners were coming through. So ate again. They did have, like I mentioned, breakfast, you know, offered that day, that morning, but I wasn't that hungry. So I didn't do that, but everybody around me who had done that said it was a really good deal. Like they had really good food, for breakfast. So, did I miss anything so far? I think I'm almost done, but
no.
Okay. So yeah, it's just waited for our last few runners to go through. Glad we didn't go any later because it was getting warm. Mm-hmm. You know, like our last two runners, like
starting to
starting to heat up. So, you know, kind of the traditional thing with Ragnar, whether it's trail or road, even though the last runner's finishing their last loop or leg, you know, your team all waits for them and joins them in that last little finishing shoot, you know, so you could all run across the finish line together.
Yeah,
so,
you all run the last 100 feet together.
And the nice thing is, you know, our last runner is doing Red Loop and you can actually see them coming down the hill a little bit before they get close. So it's not like you're surprised or anything like that. And of course, during the day, so you can see him. Joined in, you know, ran through the finish line, got our medals, which don't have any metal on them, I don't think. Yeah, I think it's wood with it's like wood. A leather, I don't know what you'd call that.
Front, I don't know either.
Sure, yeah.
It's the best I can do.
With like the Ragnar logo and everything like branded in it? I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually a good
one. Yeah, like branded on the leather. So pretty cool, you know, very trailish, you know, so very trail-like. So that was pretty cool. Take our team picture. And then it's kind of like, okay, well, now what? You know, it's right. It's like, oh, what? We're done? What? You know, so hung out for a while. Just, it's kind of nice because, like you said, you're at a like, campsite. It's not, or a camp area. It's not like you have to, like, get in your van and leave and that sort of thing. So just hung out for a couple of hours before we all went our separate ways. So, yeah, that was, you know, I went back. I was going to be flying back the next day. So I went back to the hotel that I was staying at and tried to get some sleep. Actually went out to the pool. Because I thought, oh, it might be good to be in the cold water, but it was really cold. So I only put like my legs in it, you know. I'm like, it might not be the best idea for me to put all these like abrasions in the water for too long. So so just put my legs in there, and I think it helped in terms of recovery. And then next day, woke up, and I was pretty sore. Not my legs. My legs felt fine. Like quads, calves, everything felt fine. It's just everything that I hit when I fell was hurting pretty bad, especially like my left shoulder. So
yeah, your shoulder definitely looks the worst, along with kind of your leg or thigh.
Yeah,
on your left side,
it's like super bruised.
It's super bruised.
It's weird
and scraped up. More bruised.
I know.
Than
I don't understand.
And your shoulder's really scraped up.
So. Yeah, and that's actually been the most painful thing is my left shoulder. Like when I was flying back and I had to put my backpack in like the overhead, I was like, oh my gosh, I like cannot use my left arm at all to put it in the overhead compartment. I had to like muscle it up there with my, and it wasn't that heavy. Mm-hmm. I had to like muscle it up there with my right arm and get it in there. So that's actually been the most painful thing. So, but yeah, just, actually did get a run in the next day just at the hotel gym and felt okay. You know, aside from still altitude, you know, making it a little bit more difficult to breathe, I felt okay. You know, I was on the bike for a little bit there. Tried to do some weights. I don't know what I was thinking. And like, I went to do like one rep and I was like, oh, yep, my left arm is not going to have it. So just stop there. So, I mean, now thinking back to even like earlier today, I was thinking about my fall and I just had to like laugh about it. I'm like, that's just like, I don't know. It's just funny now, you know, I guess because nothing's broken and I'm okay. So, but yeah, I mean, it was a really fun event. You know, a lot of great trail running, great trails, a lot of single track, get to demo shoes. Beautiful scenery, you know, you just get to hang out. It's kind of like a running camping party, if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's funny because I think we obviously both love running and we both actually really love to go camping.
Yeah,
so kind of combining the two is a pretty
perfect.
Cool, awesome, yeah, perfect scenario for us. So if that interests you at all, this could be your type of an event.
Yep.
To do.
Yeah, I mean, and I think it, you know, generally for Ragnar road races, you know, there's a lot of like costume stuff and that sort of thing. And there's a little bit of that here, but there's definitely less. I mean, I've done two Ragnar trails now, you know, Tahoe and Snowmass, and definitely not a lot of costumes and that sort of thing, but there's still some. So I think there's like somebody with, what do you call it? Like the, If anybody's ever watched A League of Their Own, you know, it was basically the baseball outfit from that. You know, so just different things like that. But it wasn't a couple of tutus, but nothing nothing like what you would see maybe on like on a road relay. So
yeah,
but
it's more,
still a lot of, you know, fun. And
yeah, the road one's more of, you know, this big relay parties and themes and that type of an environment. And this one, you know, still just as fun in a lot of ways, but it's more chill running and camping and hanging out.
Yeah.
And think bonfire. So kind of think of those as
And they do have a bonfire.
Yeah.
Where you can make s'mores. I was just too sad that I had fallen to go make s'mores.
I mean, I guess the good thing is you fell pretty close to being done.
Yes.
Because had you fallen...
Had I fallen like on the first loop and then been that in that much pain...
That would have been a problem.
Yeah, that would have been a problem. So, you know, and then people do get creative with like their team names and everything. I just wrote down a couple of them that I thought were funny. Like move your snowmass over, the trailing behinds, kicking snowmass, render pants, and then got the runs, which we see all the time,
Yeah.
But they were actually pretty creative in that they tore off some toilet paper and stuck it like coming out of the back of their pants, like you know, like you would accidentally leave it there.
Right.
And so they ran like that, which is pretty funny. So yeah.
And then if they had some emergency, they needed toilet paper,
yeah,
it was
exactly.
There.
It was right there. Yeah. So they had it. Yeah, I think that's. I'm trying to think if I missed anything.
No, I mean, the one thing you didn't mention was there was a rec center nearby,
right? Oh, right, yeah.
So you could actually, they had a pool there,
yeah,
and showers there.
That's a big thing, yep.
So you could pay, I think you said $10 for a, yep, a pass, and that would give you the opportunity to go take a real shower or mm-hmm. go hit the pool. Or I think you said you had a teammate who actually went and hit the gym.
Yeah.
Did some weights.
Did some weights. Yeah. And I think they either had like a climbing wall or bouldering or something that you could do indoors too. Mm-hmm. So they had, it was pretty cool. And it was like right there within walking distance. It wasn't very far. So I know quite a few people did that. So it was really nice to have that so close and that available to us.
Right.
To do that. So.
And then the only other thing I was going to mention is, You were telling me about talk to one of the, I don't know what they call them, volunteer staff members that was kind of in charge of one of the loops.
Uh-huh.
And their job right. was basically to go out through the entire event and just continually check the loop to make sure all the signs were in the right place. You know, the danger signs are in the right place. If there's any new obstacles or new things to be aware of, that they would go out and yeah. check that. So I think that person was going to go out and run that one loop 9 or 10 times
yep.
through the course
during the
of
event.
The race. So
yeah.
I kind of like the idea that there's definitely... race staff going out there and kind of continually mm-hmm. checking the trail as, you know, conditions change and things change and
right.
Kind of just making sure everything's cool and copacetic and all that.
Yeah. And,
stuff,
they do have a person designated for each of the loops. Mm-hmm. So one for yellow, one for green, one for red. And then there's also other staff that will cover the loops at some point, but there's definitely somebody who's designated and that's like, they own that, you know, they got to make sure that everybody's okay on there. And,
right.
you know, like you said, you know, everything is safe and, yeah.
So, I mean, it definitely sounded like a pretty cool event. Mm-hmm. I was definitely jealous from looking at the pictures. I think, you know, we'll post pictures on our Facebook page.
Yeah.
I always say with Ragnar, whether it be trails or roads, a good way to get a really good feel of what we're talking about in the event is really to either, I mean, you can head over to the official Ragnar page. They got YouTube videos there, but or just right. head over to YouTube and look at the videos and
yep.
you'll see a lot of teams that kind of shoot videos of the whole event and you kind of see the whole thing from start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you probably the best idea, even, you know, maybe a 5-minute video on an event can might give you a better idea than what we can kind of talking about it for an hour. But
right.
we're giving you some details, but that kind of gives you the visual to understand kind of everything that goes in into the event. So mm-hmm. If that's something you're interested, I think that's a really good way to do it. So,
and they do still have a couple of events left this year. So, you know, Ragnar Trail Appalachians is this coming week and it's sold out. So you can't, you know, or not sold out, but it's at capacity. So, you know, can't get into that. But they do have, you know, Vail Lake still, which SoCal, which mm-hmm. we plan to be there. Hill Country in Texas and then McDowell Mountain in Arizona. So, and then remember, we have a discount code for any team that wants to register. So, which is AT14MEC.
Okay.
If anybody wants to do that.
And they also do one in Atlanta, Georgia mm-hmm. and Zion, Utah.
Right.
And we just talked about Snowmass. I'm obviously going through the list.
Through the list, yep.
On the webpage. And like yeah. you said, we'll be down at Vail Lake in Southern California, I think in October.
Yep.
So I'm looking forward to that one. And I think, I don't know, it's part of the job of being captain. You kind of have to confirm all the people but that are doing it. But we might still end up with a couple spots if anybody is local and wants to join us at the
yeah.
race.
Let or us not know. Local and wants to join us. That's right. okay, too. Yeah, just let us know.
Shoot us an email. We can go through fun. Details. But yeah, it's definitely a recommended event. Mm-hmm. We talked about, like we said, we did Tahoe. And there was obviously, they've made a lot of improvements since we did Tahoe.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
things are definitely a lot smoother than we did Tahoe. There was no Tahoe for 2014, but they're looking to bring it back for 2015.
Yep. So stay tuned for that.
We'll let you know about that when that happens. All right. Anything else you want to say about the race?
Nope. I mean, it was, the views were awesome.
I mean,
I can't
honestly,
say that enough times, but it really was. And I mean, and I've seen some pretty awesome views. I mean, I've been to Yosemite, I've been to like several national parks and it was just like, yeah, views were just amazing.
Yeah.
So,
take a look at the pictures. It definitely
yeah.
gives you an idea. And that's why I said, oh, you know, I would have loved to go, kind of just run in that environment.
Although right.
I might've been crying from the elevation pretty quick.
The grouse would have been pecking at you.
I might have been a half mile up the trail and just said, I'm turning around.
Curled in a ball. And... all right.
All right. So, yeah, that's it about the race. Yeah, I mean, it definitely, I mean, I kind of got your feedback right away from the race and even while you were out there, and it definitely sounded like you had a lot of fun doing it. So.
Yeah. I mean, and I guess moving on and speaking about, you know, future races, I guess we have somebody who's running the Appalachians next week.
Yeah, so good luck to Jill, who's mm-hmm. going to be out there. The other thing I'm going to mention too about Ragnar Trails, I can't remember if it's the same for roads, but if you're maybe a high school student yourself, or
if you
have kids that are high school student, you can do Ragnar as a high school team if everybody's in high school, and it's actually a pretty big discount.
Oh yeah,
it's a massive. I mean, it's more than 50% off if you're in high school. So if you know some high school kids or a team or cross country team, it's actually a really cool thing for them to do. And the fact that it's so affordable to do it as a mm-hmm. high school team, that I would definitely recommend looking into that. Cause I know that it's, Yeah, it's 50 to 70% off the price of us regular old people doing it, I guess, is what I'll go with.
Yeah, and we had, there was a couple of high school teams there at
and
Snowmass.
You said they
and
were they, really, really
and
fast.
They, and they kicked all of our butts, so.
Of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those kids, you know.
Yep.
All right. So, yeah, we wish Joel good luck at Appalachians. Scott's going to be at Trailquake coming up soon, so I just want to wish him good luck at that one.
Yep.
That's a race that's a fun local brazen race. Pretty tough.
Mm-hmm.
You tried to scare him about that race.
I didn't really try to scare him. Yeah, I didn't mean to, but yeah.
Don't worry about it.
You'll be fine, Scott.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Let's get to some feedback real quick.
Incoming message.
We heard from Susan, who shared a pretty cool story with us, of which I won't get into the story of her harrowing, frightening, scary affair of being chased by an animal, a ruthless, vicious
animal.
While
she was out on a run.
Out on a run.
Yep.
That animal was a bumblebee. So that's kind of why it's funny. Yeah, I think we've all been chased by bumblebees at some point in time.
Yeah,
so,
or various things.
Yeah, she was definitely harassed along the run.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe the smartest thing was just to stop and it would probably go away in a second.
Right. But I think she was really kind of trying to fight back. And
so that could be our recommendation for speed work. Just kind of
there you go.
Fly by.
Try to outrun the bumblebee.
Try to outrun a bee. Or, you know, maybe not go stir up a nest. That might be a little too much.
Oh,
unless
yeah, don't
you
do
really
that.
Want some, you know, maybe you got to be a, you know, 5-6 minute miler to be doing that kind of thing. But I guess that's one way to get speed work in. Sarah emailed or shot us a message about, we were asking about the V on the Divas logo.
Yeah, well, it was a different color.
Yeah, she actually had the really good suggestion that maybe that signified the fifth year, which I was like, oh man, that's a really good suggestion.
Yeah.
It's not.
It's not the fifth year.
We checked
yeah.
that. You
so
checked
I still
that
don't
out,
know.
But, so we still don't know. But yeah, maybe we'll just email them and get an answer.
I guess that would be the easiest thing to do, huh?
Yes. We heard from Sarah, who was actually one of the people that were supposed to do the Minneapolis Marathon, but we had mentioned before that it had been canceled. She was going to do the half, and she ended up doing the Lola's Half Marathon, the 10-mile course, although I guess there were some delays there for lightning.
Yeah.
So that seems to be a theme going around.
Mm-hmm.
Am I moving on here? Yes.
Yeah.
And then we heard from Scott, who we mentioned, Scott Trailcoy coming up, and he's also got some more pacing duties coming up. And he said, you know, pacers are not allowed to have bad days. So if you're not feeling like you're having a good day, you need to pass that off, pass off your little sign to a backup pacer. But like we said, he enjoyed pacing so much that he's going to be doing it again next month. So
that's pretty cool.
And we heard from Patricia, who actually got into the Rebel Challenge along with three friends.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that four of you got in, considering how busy it was this morning, congratulations, you almost. You've basically won already just by getting in the race, because it wasn't the easiest thing to get into. And a shout out to Heather and Todd, who are also doing the race, and we'll see them down there that weekend too.
Yeah. So there might be quite a few people we know down there then.
Yeah. So that should be fun. It's just, like I said, it's crazy thinking of the race of the Rebel Challenge, because it's so far away.
I know. You know, if for some reason in my head, I keep thinking it's like Labor Day weekend, even though that's Dumbo.
Right.
But that's I keep thinking like, race. Oh yeah, it's just a couple months. It's like, no, it's like next year.
All right, I think that's going to do it for this week.
The website for the podcast is embracerunning.com. You could find us on Facebook at facebook.com/embracerunning. Send us any comments, questions, or feedback at feedback@embracerunning.com, or leave us a voicemail at 925-400-7223. If you enjoy the show, give us a review on iTunes. So until next time, embrace running.